This week's parsha is Parsha's Chayei Sarah. So it says, V'yihi Chayei Sarah, Mea Shana, the life of Sarah was 100 years, V'esrim Shana, V'sheva Shanim Shnei Chayei Sarah. It's called the life of Sarah, and this parsha is when Sarah dies. So that's interesting. V'tamot Sarah v'kiryat Arba. So, we're told that Sarah died in Kiryat Arba. So what's special about Kiryat Arba? Because Rashi says two Purushim, but one we're going to go with is the one that says there was Arba Zugot. There were four pairs were buried there. Ish v'Ishto, Adam v'Chava, Avraham v'Sarah, right? Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Leah. So the name was given Al Shem Ha'atid, i.e. this was the name of four pairs that were buried there. This is important for Chumash to tell us. V'hi Chevron, this is Chevron. Be'eretz Kanaan, in the land of Kanaan. V'yavo Avraham lispod l'Sara. And Avraham came to give hesped, to like speak about Sarah. V'livkota, to cry for her. Livkota has a small calf. Okay, so let's first try and understand the small calf. So there's a famous Chasam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer says that the reason there's a small calf is because Avraham Avinu had an Akedah. And this Akedah, right, was a tremendous chus for Klal Yisrael, a tremendous merit for Klal Yisrael, the Akedah. Like we said in last week's parasha, from this, Klal Yisrael gets its ability to give itself up on Kiddush Hashem, to give our lives up for Kiddush Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu, had he come after the Akedah, which caused the death of Sarah, which caused Sarah's death, and he had any form of charata, any form of remorse in not in doing the Akedah, which caused the death of Sarah, that would have taken away from the schus of Klal Yisrael, would have taken away from Klal Yisrael's spiritual genes. Because there would have been a remorse in that mitzvah. When you have remorse for a mitzvah, it takes away the schar of the mitzvah. So Chumash tells us that Abraham, when he cried for Sarah, he cried. He cried for Sarah, he didn't cry for a small calf. He didn't cry in a way that would have any effect on the Akedah. That's how the Chasam Sofer explains. So, we see here that this is called the life of Sarah, really it's Sarah's death. Right? It tells us the life of Sarah, and tells us the merits of Sarah, that she was... Rashi goes into it, right? That why it says the years. So I'm not going to go into that, but basically, what is Kiryas Arba and Chevron? And we see this whole story of Avraham buying this field from Ephron, right? And the Arbamot Shekel Kesev, it's 400 shekels of money, right? And the whole story, the details of the story. And we see the Vayakam Hasada, there was Tkuma, says the Chazal. The Sada went from the hands of Hedyot, the hands of Avraham. It says, V'yakum Sada Ephron, the field of Ephron, right? Asher b'machpelah. What does it mean, b'machpelah? Loshen kefil, loshen double. What's machpelah? So there's a machlokas in the Gemara. Rab and Shmuel. Rashi brings it here. It says, in the Pasuk it says, Hamachpela, Pasuk Tes, it says, there Rashi brings it, Bayit Va'aliyah Agavav, it's a house and a second floor on top of it. Dava Acher, Shekvula B'Zugot, it has double pairs. Means a zug is a pair, but they're double. So, you know, like, what do you care how the burial place looks? A house and another house on top of it. Or that has double pairs. I mean, you know, generally speaking, a husband and a wife are buried together. And we're told Kiryat Arba. It's called Kiryat Arba because it has Arba Zugot. Has four Zugot. So we don't need to go again and tell it has double Zugot. What's this double about? So Rav Moshe explains as follows. The concept of kefil, like by a ganav, if you steal, right, secretly, a sheep from someone, right? Or a vessel, take a vessel. Right? Yeah, it could be a sheep, it's actually a sheep. You have to pay back double. You have to pay one sheep back, plus another one. It's a knas, it's a penalty. You only stole one sheep, why say two? Right? It's a penalty. But you have to pay exactly the same sheep back. The same value, the same type of sheep, right? Same value. It's a similar sheep. So the concept of kefil is a concept of something similar. So if we have bayis va'aliyah, house and aliyah, something on top of the house, it's a kefil. It comes from the word machpelah, it's a kefil. That means the house and the house on top are similar. What does that represent, the house and the house on top? The house, the bayis, represents Olam Hazeh, and the aliyah that's on top of it represents Olam Haba. If your life in this world is a kefil, is doubled with your life in Olam Haba, I mean, it's in sync with your life in Olam Haba, that's why Ma'at HaMachpelah, who had these zugot, who had these pairs, they had a perfect life which was in sync with the Olam Haba. It was kaful. It was doubled. The Olam Hazeh was equal, the same as the Olam Haba, like the sheep, the same sheep. So the same bias was the same aliyah. You understand what I'm saying? I.e., the lives of these zugot were perfect lives in this world that were completely representative of their lives in the world to come. I.e., their whole lives were living lives of world to come. That's what, and that also what it means. It's not really a machlok, it's different ways. The zugot, the relationship between Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, right? Yitzchak Rivka, Yaakov Leah, was a perfect zivug, was a perfect connection. They were machpil each other. What do you mean by machpil? They were the complete connection in sync with each other. That's the concept of bayis va'aliyah. That's the concept of a perfect zivug of man and wife. When there's a perfect sync between husband and wife, that's the concept of Olam Haba. Okay? That's also why it says Kiryat Arba. The four zugot that represented this perfect sync, this perfect connection of Olam Hazeh with Olam Haba. Okay? We're all learning Kiddushin, correct? Where do we learn Kesef Kiddushin from? Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron. Why do we learn from the burial of Sarah the concept of Kiddushin? So I'll tell you another Chazal. Later we're going to see that when Yaakov meets Rachel, he kisses her and cries. Why is he crying? Because he sees Beruach HaKodesh, he's not going to be buried with her. Why should he cry? Like, you know, big deal. So he's not buried. But you see that there must be, he sees there's something imperfect about his Kiddushin, his connection. She's not going to be buried with him. The Gemara of Arasa says, what's Avram doing? now that they're buried. He's connecting. He's Becheko Shel Sarah. He's together with Sarah. When a person, what's the purpose of Kiddushin? You have two souls, which are really one soul, in separate bodies. Kiddushin is the process of bringing those two souls together. When a person dies, his body doesn't separate anymore. Burial is together. There's a perfect zug. There's a perfect connection. It's machpelah. It's your double. Your equal. Your double. So the kesef of kiddushin is learned from the kesef of burial, because in burial you come to complete connection. When Yaakov Avinu saw, and that's the purpose of Kiddushin, when Yaakov Avinu saw that he wasn't going to be buried with Rachel, he realized there was something wrong in their connection. Because it wasn't going to come to full completion. Because Rachel was going to be buried in Beit Lechem. Right? So that's why we learn Kesef Kiddushin from here. Because the whole purpose of Kesher Kiddushin is that we should have the perfect zivuk, we should come to that perfect connection, which happens at burial. The guf of a person, the body of a person, is not connected. That's why get, the two letters, the Gros says this, get, the two letters, never come together in the Torah. You don't find them together, because they're separate. That's why a person who's divorced doesn't get buried with his wife. There's no connection. They're not the same soul. If we listen carefully to the words. The word, the person that was bought this sadeh from was Ephron, and it was Chevron. Chevron is the Lashon Chibu Nun. A connection, Chibu means connect, the connection to Nun. The connection to Nun Shari Bina, i.e. to the higher worlds. A kever of tzaddikim is a place, like Hebron, is a place of Chibul Lanun. That's why we go, and we daven to God at a kever. We don't daven to the Chas V'Shalom, to the person. We daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu, b'schut the tzaddik, b'schut the tzaddik. Because he brings that connection of higher world to lower worlds, bias valia. You understand? It was bought from Ephron. Ephron is Afar Nun. Afar is earth, the dust, the lower Nun, the Nun of the lower worlds. Tkuma Hai Lesadeh, the Sadeh came from the world of the lower worlds, in Hebron, it became Hebron, to the higher worlds, through the purchase of Avram. The purchase of Avram was with Arba Ma'od Kesef over Lesocha. And Rashi says that it was over Lesocha. That means it was it was good currency everywhere. Currency, money, is not just a value, not a piece of gold or silver. Money has tiva, has like a tzura, form on it. The form is the form of the Malchus. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, what's the coins of Avram? Avram on one side, Sarah on the other. Right? Those are the coins. What does it mean? The coin represents the malchus of the king. If the king has a good malchus, good kingship, everyone accepts his coins. Everywhere you go accepts his coins. It's a good coin. So these coins of Avram were over the Sochet. The coins represent its Malchus. And it's brought down in Sfarim HaKadoshim that the Gematria 400, which is Taf represents Malchus. So the 400 shekels were given across is a representation of the Malchus of Avram having dominion over the lower worlds and bringing the lower worlds to the higher worlds, the Chevron, bringing Ephron to Chevron. So the lower worlds become connected to the higher worlds. That's a tekuma. And there's a gilui of the malchus of Avram, the kingship of Avram, which is the kingship of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. That's why there's the story of this field seems like, you know, just going back and forth. But it's a very, very important concept. field represents Malchus. It represents the female. The Gemara says, Ish is Karka Olam. She's considered Karka, right? A field is a place where you plant, where from the field, it's called Mother Earth, right? Even in English. It's always the female, because the field, the seed, so to speak, is the potency. And the field gives out that potency, makes grow that potency. The field always represents Malchus. So buying the field is the establishment of Avram's Malchus. Because now the field is being expressed through Avram. How is it being expressed? Through the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. The Kefil. This world and the world to come, this world is just a expression of the world to come. It's kafful. That means our lives here, I have to be a full expression of the world to come. We're doubling it up. You understand what I'm saying? That means our lives here is our lives in the world to come. I wear, so to speak, the field which is going to be expressed in the world to come. That's what Malchus is. That was the Malchus of Avraham. Now Chazal goes on that Rashi brings it that after the Akedah, Chas v'Shalom, they nearly lost Yitzchak. Avraham wanted to marry him off. Now we have the whole story with Avraham and Eliezer, right? He sends him, and Eliezer really wants it to be from him, but he's Arul, and Avraham to Baruch, he's blessed. And now we have this whole story with Eliezer. And Chazal spent many psukim explaining how Eliezer found Rivka. And then the story gets repeated with one difference. So I'm going to focus on that one difference. So it says, So Eliezer sees, she feeds him the camels, she gives them to drink. Va'ish mishta'ea, he's like wondrous. How macharish ledat, he's quiet to know. Hatzliach Hashem darkov, Kodesh Baruch Hu's matzliach his ways. If not, v'hi kashe kilog malim lishtot, when the camels finish to drink. V'yikach ha'ish Nezim Zahav, he took a nose ring. Beka Mishkalo, it weighs a beka. Ushnei Tzmidim, two bracelets, Aliadea. Vasar Zahav Mishkalam, 10 worths of gold was their weight. So Rashi says, this is all a remez. Remez to what? Beka. Remez is Shekli Israel, Beka Lil Gugolet. That's the measure that you have when you measure Jewish people, when you count them. Shnei tzmidim, two tzmidim, remez a shnei luchot, the two luchot abrit. Asar zav mishkala, remez l'asar that he brought, shebehen. So here we have a hint of what? The Torah that was given from Eliezer to Rivka. The Rabbeinu Chaya explains here, this is speaking about the marriage of Rivka to Yitzchak is Matan Torah. Yitzchak represents Torah. Torah is given to Gvura. Mipi HaGvura. Yitzchak represents that Torah. The Chibu of Rivka to Yitzchak is the chibur of Klal Yisrael, Kiviyachol to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the story here is a representation. So here, Eliezer gives her this, and then he asks her, V'yomeh, Bat Miat, who are you? Hegidi Nali, tell me, Hayesh Beit Avicha Mokom Lanu Lalin? Right? First he should have asked before he gave it to her. First he gave it to her, and then he asked. We see in the second story, right? It's not that way. Well, now when Eliezer tells over the story, he says in a different way. He says, Ve'eshalotai, asked her first, V'omar bat miat, who are you? V'tomar bat betuel, ben nachor, asher yalda lo milka. And then asim nezem alapa utzmidim al yadeya. Then I put a nezem on her nose, utzmidim al yadeya, on her hands. So here's the opposite. First, he asks, he knows, and then he does. What's the difference between luchot rishonot and luchot shniot? The first luchot and the second luchot. In the first luchot, we said naaseh v'nishma. First Eliezer did, and then he asked. In the second luchot, we have to come through our own understanding. The toil in the Torah, the Torah shebal peh of the Torah, the nishma, and then comes the naaseh. We have to reach the naaseh, the nishma, through our understanding. We have to accept still the text, and then we have to understand it. So it is a naaseh v'nishma, but it's through our toil. It wasn't the level of the luchot rishonot that we had that concept of naaseh v'nishma. It was a higher level. Now we only get to that level through toiling in the Torah. To accepting it, toiling in it, understanding it. So the accepting of it and the toiling in it is the naaseh, and the nishma is the understanding. But that only comes through our toil. Naaseh v'nishma, right? Those are the ketarim that we got on Har Sinai represents when man is fully accepting of the will of his Creator. And then he wants to understand it on a deeper level. But that full acceptance, without questioning, but with an understanding afterwards, is a higher level than, I'll only keep what I understand. Because man can never really fully understand his Creator. First, man has to be an accepting of his will of his Creator, and then understanding it. That's a high level. Even in a relationship, first you have to accept the other person, and then get to know them. There has to be an acceptance of the person who you want to relate to. If there's no acceptance, you're never going to get to know them. There's always going to be disparity. In terms of relationship, what naaseh v'nishma means is, naaseh means there's an acceptance. Let me explain it in simple terms. If someone comes up to you and asks you for a loan, $10 loan, you don't know him, but guy from the yeshiva, you don't know, so you give him $10. That's naaseh. You see after the week, 2 weeks, however long it is, that you ask him back, he gives it back to you. So you see, he keeps his word. He gave the loan back. You entrusted in him your trust, and you got your trust back. So he's trustworthy to you for $10. Maybe you have to do that a few times, I don't know, right? But let's assume now you got your trust for $10. He comes and asks you for $20. Well, $10 he gave you back. So you do $20. You entrust, that's the naaseh. Then you see, he gave back. That's the nishma. All relationships work in that process. There's an entrusting of yourself with the other person. And then there's a nishma. You see that trust is paid back. That's naaseh v'nishma. You entrust yourself in the Torah. And then you see it makes sense. You keep Shabbos and you say, wow, it's amazing. You learn a Gemara, you entrust yourself with the words, and you didn't understand it, and then, wow, it makes sense. There's always going to be a level where you don't understand, because it's Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's always going to be a level that you don't fully get. But since your entrustment is a high-level entrustment, and you got back a high level, you're willing to entrust more. To the extent that Klal Yisrael, their level of entrustment with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is so high that we're willing to give up our lives for Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's Kiddush Hashem. And that's the biggest entrustment that a person can give. Every day we say Shema Yisrael. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Of course, Shema Yisrael represents Yichud Hashem, that always sees Hashem, but then it continues. That you should love, you have a mitzvah of Avos Hashem. Even with your Yetzara. So if your Yetzara tells you to do something wrong, you don't listen. That's Avos Hashem. It's Gvura, but it's also Avos Hashem. b'chol nafshecha, with your whole soul, to even give up your life for Kodesh Baruch Hu. U'b'chol mo'odecha, whatever midah is mo'oded lecha, whatever life you have, whatever difficulties you have, it's from Him. Accept it and live with it. U'b'chol mo'monecha, even with your money. Right? Some people, their money is worth more than their lives. The Gemara says that. But we all know. Certain places in the world, that's very, very true. So Rivka went and told her mother, and then it says the pasuk, Ula Rivka ach. Rivka had a brother. Who's her brother? Lavan. Ushmo Lavan. His name was Lavan. Vayarot Lavan el ha'ish ha'chutza el ha'ayin, to the waters. Vayhi kirot et ha'nezem. What he saw? The nezem. The gold. V'tatzmidim. Right? Al yedei achoto, on the hands of his sister. Kisham'o et divrei Rivka. We heard the words of divrei achoto. Lemo, ko diber elai ha'ish. That's what the person told me. V'yavo al ha'ish, v'inei omed al ha'gmalim v'al ha'ayim. Vayomer bo, come. Baruch Hashem. Right? Baruch Hashem, we learn from Lavan. Lama tamod bachutz. Why do you stand outside? He didn't want to come in. Eliezer didn't want to come in. Why? It was full of Avodah Zorah. Anochi paniti habayis. I removed all my Avodah Zorah for you. Right? After you saw the gold, right? No problem getting rid of your Avodah Zorah, right? ויפתח הגמלים ויתן תבן מספול הגמלים ומים לרחוץ רגליו ורגלי האנשים אשר איתו. Okay. So we see here that Eliezer was coming to a place of Avodah Zorah. He didn't want to go in. But Lavan was the ach of Rivka. He was connected with Rivka. That ach of Rivka represents the heir of Rav. That brought Klal Yisrael to Avodah Zorah of the Egel. And the Paniti Tabayis is Moshe Rabbeinu removing the Avodah Zarah from Klal Yisrael. And that's why we needed the next story, the repetition on Yom Kippur of Luchot Shniot. That's a hint of that in the Torah. And the Nezim Zahav and the Tzmidim represent those things which they put in. They replaced. They took the gold and the silver that they got in Mitzrayim, and they put to create the egel. Okay? The Pniyat HaBayit, right, represents the removing of egel from Klal Yisrael. Betuel didn't want to come, won't let Rivka come with Eliezer. So Rashi brings the Malach killed him. Betuel represents that part of Klal Yisrael that were connected to the Chet HaEgel, to the egel, that didn't want to be connected to Matan Torah, and those are the people that Bnei Levi killed. The Torah represents that part of Klal Yisrael. So in Pasuk Nun Tet says, "Vayishalchu et Rivka Achotam." They sent Rivka Achotam, Omnikata, and Mnika, et Eved Avraham by Anashav, and Eliezer and his people. V'yivarachu et Rivka, they blessed Rivka. This is how we bless. The father blesses his daughter. And the bedekin. We get this from the bracha, the Lavan blessed Rivka. V'yomrula, achotenu, our sister, ad heyei le'alfei reva. You be 1,000 and 10,000. In other words, you have many children. V'yirash zarecha, they will inherit your children. Et Shah Sonav, the gates of their enemies. And Rashi here explains that your children will receive the bracha of Avraham, right? And it'll be from you and not from another child, not from another woman. That means from you, your children will come, you will be the continuation of the bracha of Avraham, no one else. And from this bracha of Lavan, this is the bracha a father gives to his daughter at a wedding. We learn it from here. Why do we learn it from Lavan? Well, we can't find another bracha in Chazal. We learn from Lavan.
Where is this?
Since this marriage to Yitzchak represents the marriage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, which is the tachlis of all marriages. That's the, you know, the shorish of all marriages, the source of all marriages. That's what a marriage is about. Marriage is about of chibur elyonim tachtonim, connecting the high worlds to the lower worlds, bayis v'aliyah, machpela, zugot, as we spoke about before. And that's what this marriage represents. This marriage represents the marriage of Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. So the bracha of this marriage is the bracha we want to give to our children. This is the bracha, because this is the ultimate marriage. Rivka and Yitzchak is the marriage of Klal Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the marriage we want for our children, that ultimate marriage, to be domen to the marriage of Klal Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why we say, when a person gets married, he builds Mechorbot Yerushalayim. He brings Shechina L'Tachtoni. He builds the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he dwells with Klal Yisrael. That's what a marriage is. So from here, Dafka, we're learning it. Happens to be Lavan, right? But also maybe, you know, there perhaps because a person like Lavan, who's a Rosh, can only think about himself. So this bracha is like a perfect bracha, thinking only about Rivka. Like it's the perfect bracha if you're thinking only about your daughter. Because that's what Lavan is. He's thinking completely about what's good for himself. So in terms of a bracha, what's good for the child, that's maybe the ultimate bracha. But that I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Although, and I have to explain it, although there's a chazal that say that Lavan represents Lovan. Lovan, right, is white. So even though he was a Rasha, he's a representation of a higher order, of a higher concept. Lavan, Big Day Lavan, is which you wear, the Kohen Gadol wears, Lifnai Belifnim. Lavan represents the Lovan Elyon. It means represents the highest aspect of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that we can perceive in this world. So when Lavan gives this bracha, it's coming from the highest source. Because in order for a Rasha to have kiyum in this world, in order for a Rasha to live, and Lavan was a tremendous Rasha, in order for a Rasha to live, it takes tremendous rachamei shamayim, tremendous giving on the part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to sustain him in this world. He's literally spitting in God's face, and God is giving him life. At the same moment, he's spitting in his face. That's tremendous rachamim. That's the highest rachamim that you can represent. That's why Lavan represents the Lovan Elyon, the highest rachamim in the world. So therefore, his bracha is a bracha coming from the highest source, from the Lovan Elyon, from the highest source. So that's the bracha we give to our children. V'takom Rivka v'narotei v'tirkavna. So Rivka went up, and her maid servants with her. V'tirkavna, loshen rechiva, right? Means merkava, that means she has dominion. Al hagmalim, on these camels. What does a camel represent? Chazal tell us, the camels, you see Esav comes with camels later on. Camels represent, the Megaleh Mukot says this, camels represent the Ra in the world. When Rivka was riding the camels, she was machnia, she had dominion over the Ra in the world. Now we go weiter. And this is after Matan Torah. You with me? It means once we receive Torah, Klal Yisrael can ride the camel. I have dominion over the Ra in the world. We have dominion over Yetzara. V'telechna acharei ha'ish. You went after the man. V'yikach ha'eved et Rivka v'yelech. Now what do we see? V'yitzchak ba mivo be'er l'chai ro'i. He came from be'er l'chai ro'i. Rashi says, he's bringing back now Hagar, Keturah, to Avram, to marry her. We're going to speak about that soon. V'hu yoshev be'er t'anegev. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach b'sadeh. Now it's also mida keneged mida. Yitzchak was looking for a wife for Avraham, And Eliezer, Eved Avraham, bought a wife for Yitzchak. Okay. V'yetze Yitzchak asur b'sadeh, lifnot erev, just before the night. What is this? This is where Chazal learned the concept of mincha. V'yisa einav, he lifted up his eyes, v'yav, hinei gmalim b'ayim, these camels are coming. These camels represent the Ra. Lifnot Erev is the before the night. Night represents the dominion of Ra. Mincha, right? What's the purpose of Mincha? Not to give the night dominion, to be machnia the Ra in the world. One second. V'tisa Rivka et Eineha. Rivka looked up. V'terae et Yitzchak. She saw Yitzchak. V'tipol me'al agamal. She fell. Rashi said she didn't fall off. She went on the side. She's on the side of the camel, right? I.e., she was machnia herself. She put herself down before what Yitzchak represents. Yitzchak represents the Torah. So there was complete hachna when she saw Yitzchak davening. And that's what mincha represents. Mincha represents the hachna of the Ra. Because mincha time, right? And as we say, the Tamid Shel Shacha is against Averis at night. The Tamid Shel Bein Arabayim, which is Keneged Tfilas Mincha, is against Averis of the day. I will machnia the Ra of the day, right? So that the night comes after that day, there's no hashpa, there's no influence of the Ra on us. That's what Tfilas Mincha represents. Okay. Then we see the Rivka covers herself. And Eliezer tells Yitzchak what happened, the nisim that happened. V'yaviea Yitzchak ha'ohela, he brings her to her oil of Sarah. Rivka comes into the oil of Sarah. She's a replacement of Sarah, Imo, his mother. V'yikachet Rivka v'tihilo leisha, she becomes his wife. V'yaveha v'yinachem Yitzchak achareimo. And Yitzchak has tanchumin after his mother. He's very connected to his mother. His mother was Midas Adin. Yitzchak was Midas Adin. Avraham was Midas Chesed. Right? Rivka was Midas Chesed. You know from the story with the Gemalim. Yeah? So now, what does this mean? He replaced his mother. So Rashi says, the replacement of Sarah was all the brachas of Sarah, the Ner Dolek, the candle being lit, the bracha be'isa, right? The blessing in the bread, right? All these things represented, the Ner Dolek represents Shechina. The ohel of the Imahot represented the tabernacle. A Jewish home is a tabernacle. The Ner Shabbos is the Ner Dolek. The Isa, the bracha be'isa, is the kefil, the double. If you notice, we have chalas on Shabbos. We get a double portion on Shabbos. What's this double portion? You have lechem mishnah. Shabbos represents olam haba. We take the lechem of the sixth day and we put it with the bread of the Shabbos day, because we get it on the sixth day. The man fell twice on the sixth day for Shabbos. We take the sixth day's bread and we put it together with the seventh day bread. That's how we make challah. We have two loaves, right? Or 12 loaves of lechem apanim. But it's the same thing. It's a concept of two. Right? A doubling. You with me? What does the two loaves represent? The bread of Shabbos with the bread of the end of the sixth day. The sixth day. When we're putting them together, it means our sixth day is our Shabbos. That's also machpela. That's also doubling. That our whole week is for that Shabbos. That these 6 days is just an expression of the malchus of Shabbos. That's the kefil. That's the machpela. V'yosef Avraham v'yikach ish u'shmo keturah. Her name was keturah. Incense. Because her actions were pleasant like incense. She kept herself for Avraham. And now we explain all the children she has. And then it says, Ulibnei Hapilagshim. He didn't marry Hagar, according to one opinion is Hagar. With
change her name.
Her name was Hagar, but her name was called Keturah because of Chazal telling us of her proper actions. Keturah. Well, there's more. Yeah, Keturah. Keturah means incense. So it's like this. Ulibnei Plagshim, right? Because now he told us all the names of the children that came from Hagar, or Keturah. Asher Avram, which is to Avram. Natan Avram, Matanon. Avram gave them presents. Vishalchem al Yitzchak Bono. And he sent them away from Yitzchak, his child. Bo'odeinu Chai, where he's still alive. Kedma, eastwards, El Eretz Kedem, to the eastern portion of the world. The eastern portion of the world is Asia. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Rashi brings this Gemara here. Look at Rashi. Natan Avram Matanot. Pirshu Rabotenu, Sham. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Shem Tuma Masalem. He gave them names of impurity. Davar Acher. This is two pshatim in the Gemara. Mash Niten Lo Al Oda Tzara V'Sham Matanot Shnitnu Akol Natan Lehem. He didn't want to benefit from them. Either presents he got from Paro. He didn't want to benefit from them. Hagar was a princess of Egypt. The concept of Egypt is the concept of the pyramids, right? The triangle of the pyramids. What was Egyptian culture? Egyptian culture was that the world that you live in today, all your wealth, you put in the pyramid and you take it to your world to come and you live with that wealth for eternity. So as much as you can wealth, you can gather in your lifetime, that's going to be your wealth for eternity. But the concept of Olam Haba is a very physical concept of Olam Haba. That's why Yishmael, who also came from Hagar, right? His concept of Olam Haba is also very physical. The 70 women, right? It's a physical concept. Yeah. 70 represents the 70 nations of the world, right? All sorts. Avraham wanted to fix. He wanted to make the Olam Haba into spirituality for them. That was the Shema Satuma. Shema Satuma, shame always means purpose. How does it could be that Avraham, who represents Midas HaChesed, would give his children names of impurity? It doesn't make sense. So it doesn't mean they were impurity for them. For Klal Yisrael, that isn't the Avoda. But for them, this was the Avoda. And their Avoda is not to take the physicality of the world and bring it to Olam Haba, which is represented in the pyramid, taking the physical, the lower worlds, and bringing it to the pinnacle, the top, the higher worlds. Taking all physicality and bringing it to the top, that's a triangle of a pyramid, right? Rather, the Avoda is to remove themselves from the physical world. But for Klal Yisrael, that's not our avoda. Our avoda is to bring the spiritual world into the physical. Their avoda was to separate themselves from the physical world. And that's the concept of the Eastern religions. The Eastern religions is to separate yourself from the physical and to reach what they call the higher spiritual worlds, Buddhism, whatever. It started with Hinduism, and Hinduism is like a bit of Avodah Zarah, right? But the conceptually, Buddhism came from that, just removed it, the Avodah Zarah from it. Conceptually, it's a removal from the physical, a removal from the world of physicality, and going to a higher level world. That's the Shema Satuma. Why is the Matanas of Egypt, he gave them? Because this concept is a concept of the Egyptian religion. That's the Egyptian religion which started. Just the Egyptian religion is a concept of physicality, and Avraham changed it to a removal of physicality. That would be the Avoda. And if you look in the Eastern religions, right, there's two types, basically. Three types. There's Buddhism, which is the removing intellectually from the world, through meditation. There's the Chinese, which is a meditation of the guf, of the physical, right? Kung Fu and all those martial arts. It's a form of meditation. And then there's Islam. Islam, if I was told this, I didn't actually, but I think that, you know, when they have their big festivals, so they spin like a top, like they're big, like sort of, I don't know, guru type people, they spin like a top. It's emotional meditation. So you have all three levels of meditation that came from Hagar. And Hagar represents incense. Incense is taking the physical and bringing it completely to the spiritual, i.e. a negation of the physical. That's why she was called Keturah. From her came the concept of Keturah to the nations of the world. Taking the physical and burning it and making it something spiritual. Smell, says the Gemara, is something which the neshama benefits from. It's a spiritual thing. That means you're taking a physical body and you're making it completely spiritual. That's intrinsically the avoda of the Asian world. And that's the avoda that Avram gave him. That's why they were called. They called themselves Brahmin in the beginning. The Hindus call themselves Brahmin. It comes from Avram. You understand?
Yes. Okay.